Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I would say probably the biggest thing right now that y'all have brought up and that I agree with is the tight end target production has been a lot lower than probably we thought going into this point. I also would probably, you guys would agree with me that you know that I love tight ends. And so it's something that we're going to try to make sure that we help out and stuff. But there's going to be times, again, I'll go back to it. Last week, we ran the football and our tight ends were able to be a huge part of that. And so sometimes it doesn't reflect in the stat book, but we're always trying to do everything we can to do whatever is best for this offense.
It's Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about the lack of tight end use, which is absolutely real. I think three targets last week for Cole Kmet. Not even sure if Jimmy Graham showed up on the stat sheet. A win, nonetheless, using that formula where everybody gets a chance to block. Come on in, Jesse James. Come on in, Jimmy Graham. Alex Bars, come on in. We're going to need you to block as well. As we welcome back into Saturday Suckage, Rosenblum and Grody, we have lost Rosenblum again. We are standing by in an attempt to get him back. In the meantime, let's keep the Bears talk hot. Bears and Raiders tomorrow at 3:00 from Vegas. Cam Ellis joining us now here on the Score Hotline. He of Odyssey, a guy who is a regular out at Hallis Hall. Cam, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am well. And, you know, the more I think about it and listening to Matt Nagy coming in, discussing his want to get more from the tight ends, but also in the latter portion of that quote, explaining the need for those guys to block. I'd like to see Justin Fields get to know Cole Kmet better, too. But I bet you they're going to play this game a little bit similarly to the way they played it against Detroit, as in as many blockers as possible, and hope that Damian Williams can do to some degree like David Montgomery. Do you agree with that, or do you think they will try to open up the passing game a little bit?
No, I think you're right. I think it's funny that people are talking about the tight ends being like, well, like they'll need to block. Like, what else have the tight ends done this year? Like, that is like kind of like the only thing the tight ends have actually you can point at and say, hey, they've kind of done a good job at this. No, I think that you're right. Jesse James and J.B. Holtz both being out right at first glance, you're like, oh man, that is not a great start. But I think that basically means Cole Kmet, you know, is going to be an offensive lineman tomorrow on Sunday. It worked against the Lions. Granted, it's a little different when it's Max Crosby and, you know, Yannick Ngakoue versus the Lions. I don't really see a lot of I would be surprised if they really open it up and Cole Kmet, you know, has 7 receptions for 80 yards or whatever. I see a lot of heavy sets. I see a lot of chip help. I think that is when they talk about how the Bears figured out some protection scheme things, you know, Matt Nagy talked about that all week. I feel like I think that means that you can have Cole Kmet be the 6th guy on the line for most of the day.
Yeah, I agree. We're on the same page there for sure. We saw last week, too, the connection between Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney. And no doubt, John Gruden had to have seen that as well. And usually the guy that teams want to take away is Allen Robinson. But Robinson was, quote-unquote, reduced to essentially being a blocker this last week. Do you think that they are going to have to now, based on what is on tape with Darnell Mooney and their want to make the explosive plays, that we're going to see more, or we have to see more from Allen Robinson or just anybody else catching the football other than Darnell Mooney, as good as that was last week?
Right. I think that Allen Robinson, one, first and foremost, is far too, you know, talented to continue putting up these types of games. But you're right. At some point, he needs to become a more focal point of the offense. You know, and it's funny, people were talking about the Mooney throws. I'd argue that the Allen Robinson throw, like, in terms of from the ball snap to the catch, was the most impressive play of the game for the Bears. Like, that, it was one of those plays where in real time, I was like, at least, like, oh, that's a nice play. And then you go back and rewatch it, and you're like, whoa, like, that is a really, really great play all the way around. I imagine that Allen Robinson is going to be more involved tomorrow just because that is sort of what the Raiders, you know, they're not going to give the Bears a huge Allen Robinson day, but that feels like more realistic than, you know, three or four deep shots to Mooney again. The Raiders are going to be down some corners, which always helps. And I think that they want to get Robinson more involved on a possession level. If you're not going to do it with the tight ends in the middle of the field, you know, in the intermediate level, second level, I think that's where Allen Robinson is going to need to go, because that seems to be the part of the Bears offense that has been sort of lagging behind. So ironically enough, you know, I feel like all we've seen is intermediate throws, and now those are sort of fewer and far between in terms of the offense. So, yeah, I expect a bigger day from him. And if it's not a bigger day, I think it starts to be a little bit concerning.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I talked to Allen Robinson this week, and he is unflappable when it comes to being all about the team. But you're right, man. Eventually, a guy who is probably in his final year with the Bears, staring at free agency, eventually he's going to want to get his. I don't know, Cam, if he's going to voice that, but I think that you will feel that from him.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think as far as him talking about the future's contracts, that's not really his MO. He sort of has always, you know, there was clearly some moments of frustration this summer and last spring when things weren't going to plan, but I don't expect it to be a distraction. That's not something that Allen Robinson does. And if he leaves, I think it'll also be very quietly and gracefully, I will. So I can't imagine that, of all the things that could be an issue this year in terms of getting into the locker room and sort of tearing it apart, the last thing I would expect would it to be Allen Robinson.
Hey, and one more thing on that, and before we bring back in Steve Rosenblum, we're talking to Cam Ellis from Odyssey here about the Bears in Vegas here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Do you think that they are designing more plays for Darnell Mooney because they have to get ready for the inevitable loss of Allen Robinson, or do you just think that this is who Justin Fields has been comfortable with so far?
I think it's probably mostly the latter. I always got a sense that Fields and Mooney had a pretty good connection early on. Even in camp, I feel like it was maybe a little bit ahead of the Fields-Robinson connection. I think if there's any sort of catches or share of the offense or balls being moved from Robinson game plan to Mooney's, it's a little bit to do with that. You know, they want to get Mooney more involved as a focal point in the offense, but I wouldn't believe it if someone said, you know, that they're specifically moving plays that would go to 12 last year to 11 this year. I don't necessarily buy into that. I think it's probably just Fields going with his more comfortable, his more comfortable dynamics early on in his career. And maybe he's not quite there with A-Rob the same way he is with Mooney yet, and that causes him to maybe look at Mooney a little bit longer or prioritize Mooney side of the field or whatever it is. I don't think it's future planning. I think it's more just what is comfortable in the present, if that makes sense.
Joining us now on the Score hotline is Steve Rosenblum. Steve?
Hey, Steve. Somebody. It was inevitable. Hey, Cam, how you doing? All right, so the Raiders give up a lot of yards on the ground. and it seems the best. That's Justin Fields' best friend, and he could run himself as well. And I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what they're going to do. And Matt Nagy's secret contribution to the game plan. But Bill Lazor seems like a guy who's got a far better handle of what of the game in front of him and the player in front of him. So what do you expect as far as Fields running and just the running game in general?
I expect them to try it pretty quickly off the bat. You know, I think Damian Williams, he looked pretty good against the Lions. And granted, you know, it's the Lions as always. And it was sort of not necessarily, you know, the game wasn't over yet, but the Bears had a pretty good control of things. So it's easier to look good in those situations. But I thought he looked pretty good. I expect Fields to be under center a lot. I expect a lot of play action. The Raiders' defense has not been good against play action this year. So I imagine between having Fields comfortable under center, being able to run the ball, and then, you know, working play action, whether that's, you know, pure traditional play action or if you're moving them outside, whether that's boots or whether that's naked rollouts, whatever it is, I expect a lot of footwork, and I expect a lot of traffic under center because I think that's where Fields thrives right now. I think that's what Bill Lazor is comfortable calling with Fields right now, and I think that's what the offense looks best doing. Both protection-wise, scheme-wise, I think that is going to be the game plan, not only just because the Raiders don't necessarily play that type of offense very well or haven't so far, but because that is exactly the sort of style that the Bears feel comfortable calling with Fields right now.
All right, Bears defense against the Raiders offense, and I'll zero in on Derek Carr. Other than watching the tape from the Monday night game against the Chargers, what is the Bears' best way to slow down Derek Carr? Do they have a chance to do that?
There's always a chance, right? Like, there's always a chance. I think it involves getting there as quick as they can. And it's simple. It's, you know, it sounds easy to say, oh, sack the quarterback, but the Raiders push the ball downfield and they move the ball through the air and they really take shots, and their offense is sort of set up in a way that is not great news for the Bears secondary. I think they're really going to take some shots. So if it's Robert Quinn, if it's, you know, Roquan Smith, if it's Khalil Mack or whoever it is, getting there, putting pressure on him, getting Derek Carr uncomfortable first and foremost is going to be key, because if you give him time to sit back there and just wait for Ruggs to go deep or whoever it is, I think the Bears are going to get hurt, because that is not what the Bears want. Defense has really been good at this year. So I think it's basically constant pressure and keeping Carr's footwork uncomfortable and keeping him sort of seeing ghosts, if that makes sense.
Our guest is Cam Ellis. He covers the Bears for Odyssey. You can read him on the Score's website, 670thescore.com. We're talking Bears football, Bears and Raiders. And with a new starting quarterback, sort of the old starting quarterback, whatever, going forward in the offensive line, where do you think they are on the silent count? How difficult will that be, or how easy will that be for them to pull it off in what figures to be a loud joint tomorrow?
I don't have a lot of hope for that, and only because the Bears, whatever this offense is doing, I mean, this is like a year-over-year habit at this point, but there is something about this offense that makes people jump off sides, and it continues regardless of how good they're playing or who's under center or who's calling plays. It has always just sort of felt like this offense draws guys off sides, but like not the right, like it's very confusing how often people jump off sides. So I expect one or two, just because I feel like that is sort of what you have to expect with this Bears team. And I hear that Las Vegas is pretty loud. So I think they'll be able to implement it because, you know, they're professionals and they've all worked with silent counts before. But yeah, no, I expect like one or two offsides, because, you know, it wouldn't be a Bears offense. It wouldn't be a Matt Nagy offense if someone didn't jump offsides coming out of a timeout at some point in the game.
Who's your pick to click? I've got Jermaine Effetti offsides in the second quarter on the third series.
False start Effetti.
I have Jermaine Effetti jumping offsides and then letting Max Crosby run by him to get the Justin Fields for my pick.
Okay. All right.
Putting him out for the season. Yeah. Don't forget the putting him out for the season part. Yeah. But you know what? If they if they can get if the Bears defense can, let's talk about the defense, because if they can hit Derek Carr, that's said to be his. I mean, Bosa came out of that game saying, "Boy, if you hit him, he's going to get nervous. You make him change his game, and you then have to say, well, without Akeem Hicks, how is Robert Quinn going to play like Robert Quinn has been playing now that Eddie Goldman's back? So most of the parts are there. Do you see them blitzing more? Do they do everything they can to hit Derek Carr early, knowing it has exponential effects later on?
Yeah, I do. I think you're going to see, and maybe if it's not necessarily in volume, I think you're going to see some creative blitzes. You know, I think Sean Desai has done a really good job of, we've seen some really unique fronts, whether that is, you know, Deion Bush and Khalil Mack stunting, whether that's Mack and Quinn on the same side of the line, whether that's, you know, Mack and Roquan Smith lined up on top of one another. Like, there have been some fun, different sort of wrinkles to this front that they haven't seen in the past. And I imagine they're going to try and do that. You know, the Raiders offensive line is not great. Their left tackle, Colton Miller, has been pretty good, but otherwise, you know, they literally moved their right tackle to guard this week because he was doing so poorly as a rookie. So there are going to be opportunities there. I think we're going to see some creative stuff very early on, because you're right. If they can hit him, and not even necessarily sack him, but if they can really rough him up in the first quarter and a half, I think the Bears are going to have an easier time staying in the game and limiting the ability for the Raiders to really take their shots, because it does seem like that is how you get to Derek Carr. And so I think if you let him get in a rhythm, that's where things get out of control.
You got a pick for this game, Cam? And, of course, we need the whys.
Yeah. We're always trying to find the whys. I think the Bears are going to pull off an upset. I think the Raiders are kind of overrated. You know, they can score some points, but I think the Bears' defense is pretty good. They have a good pass rush, which is going to be crucial against the Raiders. I think it's going to be kind of an ugly game, but of all the tough games that the Bears have to play this year, I think this is the easiest of the quote-unquote tough games. So I'll say Bears 24, Raiders 20. How about that?
Okay, we'll mark it
like.
Down.
Yep.
We'll mark it down, and we'll just see how inaccurate you are.
Go Bears!
I'm ready to be very wrong. Yeah.
There you go. All right. We thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us today, Cam.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye, Cam.
All right.
You with us now, Steve? Are you going to leave us again, or what the hell's going on over there?
To the technology jobs. We had the Trash Panda had. We started switching things on the phone, and I should just show up. That's it. I mean, it was useful before, but this is aggravating. Although this show's better without me, but. But then when I come on,
it gives me new
meaning to Saturday suckage.
Steve, you and I are always better together. Suckage,
oh, my God, this sucks!
Yep. Thank you, Toby. And the end of suckage, which Spokas, our operations director, was tweeting out, he can't wait for the end of this, because this spectacular broadcasting event happens after us. Vegas, baby, Vegas! The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Extra innings, bonus panels, free radio from 2 to 5. From the Circa Swim at the Circa Las Vegas Resort. A Bears Raiders preview from downtown Las Vegas. 3 bonus hours of the Parkinson Spiegel Show. And poolside with massive, massive screens. Imagine a drive-in movie, but they've just sports screens sitting around the pool. Pictures of the Circa Resort are truly spectacular. That will follow us.
But that's and the best the part of that might be we're doing transition with them boys at 1:45.
Are we? I didn't know that was for sure.
It was in the rundown.
Notice it's got a question mark by it. It says probably. Yeah.
Oh, why? So they don't want to do it?
I'm still waiting for Shane to text me back. I don't know what the delay is. It must have been out late in Vegas or something. I don't know.
The delay is Vegas. Yeah. That's the delay.
Maybe he's just not awake yet. I don't know. I probably would have just not been sleeping the whole trip. So it's, you know, good for him for actually getting some shut-eye.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he
is it 2 hours earlier there? What's the time zone thing?
They're 2 hours earlier. So okay. I made the mistake. When did I text him? Hold on.
That's just irresponsible if he's not texting you back.
So I texted him at 9:55 Central. So that's only, what would that have been, 8 o'clock, almost 8 o'clock Vegas time. So I can't blame him for not being
negligence.
Quite awake yet.
No, don't give him a pass here, studs.
Yeah, all right, right, negligence. You're right.
Yeah, it's negligence. All we should know, you know.
And there is another spectacular broadcast note I can bring to you. Tomorrow, the Score will bring you live coverage of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Beginning at 7 a.m., I was today years old when I learned that Trash Panda trained for and ran in these things.
I don't know how
you
know
that. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Are you going to be one of the reporters for it tomorrow?
No, I'm working the board. I'll be sitting here.
Cool. It's actually a really damn good broadcast. I have no interest whatsoever in marathons or like the people who. But the broadcast is one of those things with Josh Liss and all the correspondents. It's an excellent, interesting, fascinating broadcast, and you get to hear all about Chicago and the neighborhoods and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you should. If you've never listened to one of those broadcasts, check it out. You might like it. Bears.
It has won awards, the marathon coverage. It is award-winning.
I bet.
Right?
No, so, I have no idea, but I think it's award-winning, personally. Yeah.
How many Trash Pandas? So how many did you run in, and what was the training like?
I did.
And why'd you do it?
I did. Yeah. Why did I do it? That's the real question.
Dummy.
I did three marathons, and so the first one I did was actually out near Schaumburg. And the second two I did were both Chicago marathons. So I ran Chicago in 2015 and 2017. 2017 was my last marathon. I retired on the spot after I finished. It was so, because I knew I was done.
I remember all the media coverage of that you're announcing.
Oh yeah, it was a big media event. Yeah, I had to call a press conference. Like, I'm retiring from marathon running, and so honestly, like the why did I do it? It's a long story how I kind of worked myself into thinking that I could actually run a marathon and then actually following through with it. But that's not the important part.
That's having a goal and completing it. That's significant.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I just kind of one day when I was younger, I was 22, 23, starting to find myself in better shape than I'd ever been in my life. And I remember I went out and did this like 7 mile run, and it was just, I felt great the whole time. And like, I could have just kept going. And I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe I can do a marathon.
Yeah.
And so I ran that first one, and I was definitely a little in over my head, and I didn't do nearly as well as I wanted to. I cramped really bad too at like mile like 19. So I had to walk a lot of the last 6 miles, which sucked. And so I finished, but it was not like, it still kind of left me with this feeling of like, I can do better. Like, I got to do another one. And so I started training the next year for the Chicago Marathon. And it turns out that I got hurt about a month and a half before the race. So I had to drop out. And the way with Chicago, you can defer your enrollment to the next year. Okay. So that's what I did. So you get a guarantee. You're not, if you do the lottery entry, which is what I've always done, you can defer your enrollment to the next year for any reason up to a certain point before race day. And so that's what I did, because I got hurt and like my foot just like almost exploded on me. I swear I had like tendonitis or something. Like, I could barely run for 2 weeks. And so I deferred my enrollment to the next year, 2015, ran it, did a lot better. I think my time that time was like 4:41, which was roughly half an hour better than I'd done the previous marathon that I'd done. And then I fast forward again to the next year. I was signed up for, and here's the kicker about deferring your enrollment. You do have to pay again for the next year. So by deferring, if you don't run it the next year, then you're like $300 deep. And oh, so, yeah. Yeah.
It's everything's not a business. Yeah, it's all a business.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap. If you,
well, that'll give you motivation to to run faster.
Well,
there's your anger. There's
Oh, yeah. So, like, going into the 2015 race, it was like, I'm running this thing come hell or high water, because now I'm over $300 into this thing. And if I don't run, it's all been a waste. So, anyway, 2016 comes along. I am signed up for it. I start training, and I had a lot of stupid things going on in my personal life that kind of distracted my mind, and I just kind of decided I wasn't in the right state to run a marathon because the training is super grueling and you need to be just kind of all in mentally and physically, and I wasn't. So I dropped out.
Okay, so hold on. So how long is it? How many months, and what does it consist of?
Oh, the training is
weekly.
The one I did is like four and a half months. I think I always started like the second week in June, I think. And then it goes all the way up until where are we, mid-October. So what is that, four months-ish?
So what does it involve on the first day, on the second day, first week, second week?
It depends on what the what program you pick. Most programs are based on like five to six days of working out. So you'll have two shorter runs, a medium run, or two medium runs, excuse me, and a long run every week. This is the program I did. And I think it's called like the Hal Higdon method of training. Hal Higdon. Something like that. I can't remember the exact name of the guy. But the medium run and the long runs, it all depends on where, like, what level of difficulty you pick for your training. So, for instance, bringing this back around to now, I dropped out of the 2016 race and entered in 2017 and ramped up all my training because I wanted to do even better than I'd done in 2015. And so the training program I picked for my last one was pretty intensive. And that was because I was in pretty good shape and I knew I could handle it. It wouldn't be something I would recommend for a first time marathon runner. So like my first week was something like, I think 2-3 mile runs, maybe a 6 mile run and a 10 mile run, which is the programs I'd done previously. You didn't hit a 10 mile run until a couple weeks in. And then so all that starts building up. So my most intense week of training, I think I had to do this three different times. Would be, let me see if I can remember this now. I think it was 2 8-mile runs, 2 10-mile runs, and a 20-mile run. And the real kicker is you're doing your second 10-mile run the day before you run 20 miles. So the whole basis of this program is when you're running that 20-mile run, you're freaking exhausted because you've already run like 30 miles that week, including 10 miles the day before. But that really puts your body into high gear because now you're running these 20 mile runs exhausted, gets you ready to run 26.2 miles. Don't forget the 0.2 because the 0.2 is the hardest part of the race. I'm not joking. It's seriously the hardest part of the entire race. And so now that you've done all this training, especially your 20 mile runs, when you're exhausted, that is training. Now your body is ready to run 26 miles fresh because you ramped down your training the last 2 weeks before the race. I think the longest run I had the week leading up to the race was like 5 miles, which for at that point in training is just nothing. Like it's a total breeze. And now you have all this pent up energy because you're used to exerting all this energy throughout the week, and now it's all just being stored up because you're getting ready for the race. And then on race day, you feel like you're being shot out of a cannon. So you have to really kind of mentally think, like, you know, don't go pumping out 7 minute miles right now because you're going to die if you do. So yeah, that's how long did I just spend talking about this? Like 7 minutes. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but
I used inclines. When I trained, I used inclines. So I would go up a lot of escalators and that's how I trained.
Steve's got marathon material.
Hey man, then the reason it's stupid.
It actually doesn't seem healthy at all.
It's not good for your body. Like it's not. I knew the reason I stopped doing this was because I kind of had an epiphany. I don't know, somewhere between miles like 22 and 24 of the last race I ran in 2017, and I kind of just realized, I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. Like, this sucks. And I was like, I had enough. Like, I knew I had enough.
And it wasn't getting you chicks either, where you're not around.
I guess. Well, that's another thing. Yeah, you spend so much time running. Like, it takes up your entire summer. So it would be one thing. I would probably run more if you didn't have to spend 4 months getting ready for it. But it really takes, I mean, running 20 miles takes like 3 hours. So you have to find time on a Friday or Saturday in your life. I mean, so like say I have to work at noon on Saturday. That means I have to be running by like 7 a.m. to be able to get done and get ready for work in time, which means I really have to wake up at like 5 a.m. to eat. So it sucks up your entire life. And so that's one of the things that led me to be like, yeah, I'm done with this. Plus, again, like mile 24, the last one, I was like, I have enough mental and physical wherewithal to get to the end of this race, and I cannot do this ever again.
I feel like you really needed to get all of this off of your chest. Like, I feel like this was an important 8 minutes for you, Studs.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. You're right, Mark. You're right. It was very. Was it therapeutic?
Oh, I do like talking about this. So, yeah.
We noticed.
Good.
We noticed.
Good. Like the life of the lifespan of a marathon runner who is not from Kenya.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, my last marathon, I took 21 more minutes off my time. So that felt good.
Good. Very good, Trash.
Thank you.
Good.
4:21 marathon time. No big deal.
That's pretty. And I'm like, oh, I went at 7.0 on the treadmill for 35 minutes today.
Hey, that's good, man.
Yeah, that is pretty good, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. See, like, again, marathons are crazy. They're stupid. Like, you have to be a little bit psychotic to run them. And we're late for a break, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, how did we get late for a break?
Yeah, that's my fault. We don't have a guest.
It's okay. It was worthwhile.
You went on
it
this
was
marathon
worthwhile.
Discussion. Yeah, it was.
Hey,
I'm all for it.
Just
lecture yourself. Give yourself a tisk tisk.
Yeah,
all right,
my
we'll come back with stuff. All right. Keep Mark Grody, Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, and Marathon Talk fits right into that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you guys on Saturday morning, by the way. I mean, you're an outstanding individual.
All righty then.
Big if true.
414, Texter. The marathon talk is maybe the least sucky thing ever on Saturday Suckage. Wow. Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Saturday Suckage broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. And there are people who really thought it was interesting that Trash Panda was talking about training for a marathon. And that's it for the next ever.
Yeah, he retired from marathon running. And I would, if I was like a marathon runner advisor, that would be the first thing that I would say to everybody as they came into my office. You know what? I think it's time for you to stop running. What is it? 26
marathon
miles?
Advisor.
Yeah. Here's my advice to you. Stop doing it unless you can win money. So the professional runners, I'm down with it. But have you ever seen a healthy-looking marathon runner? I haven't.
No, the guy who set the marathon standard, like, died at 43. So running just gets you, right? Jim Fix, Dr. Jim Fix, right? It's just,
like,
wow.
I'm going to stick with the K runs. Yeah, just do K runs, the 5Ks, yeah, the 3K.
See, then there's the people that run, like, ultra marathons, so, like, 50-plus miles, which is just, like, those people are certifiably insane. Because, like,
yes.
I can personally, as we've just been discussing,
like, 26.2 is, yeah, right. Yeah,
my friend.
Determine this. You're pathological, so just cut it out.
I have a friend who is actually, she's a reporter for Channel 5, Jen DeSalvo. She's cray cray. She does those 50 mile runs and everything, all of her posts. And you can check her out. What does she go? I think she's Traffic Jam Jen, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Is what she goes by. Yeah. She's one of my best friends, but I think she's a little crazy. Like, going 50 miles and, yeah.
Completely, completely insane. The idea of taking one more step after you cross the finish of a marathon is, like, you don't want to think about taking another step. Like, literally, you want to fall over and die. And, like, I could barely breathe at the end of my last one. Like, I was dead. And like the idea of like, okay, go run this again. Like, no, absolutely not. No way.
Nope.
Okay. So the 224 texter says, hopefully he retires from talking about marathon running. And 815 texter, I ran the 2008 Chicago Marathon in under 4 hours. Most painful experience ever.
Yeah. Under four is really impressive.
Good, right?
Yeah. That under four is really good. So that's
were
that's
you one
impressive.
Of the guys when you were training? Were you one of those people who was keeping time at stoplights when you had a red light? Were you one of those people?
I don't usually keep time. Like, I just keep a loose.
No, but I.
Oh, you mean like, yeah.
You're at a stoplight. I don't know what your path was or what your route was. So sometimes if you're on streets, you've got to obey.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I hate those. I would just, if I hit a red light, I would just kind of jog in place and look annoyed. But
I love the jog in place runners around the city. Yeah. They're hilarious.
Well,
just the casual runners, even and there's a lot of jaywalking runners too. Like, they ain't trying to stop at that red light.
It's what it does is it kills your
heartbeat.
Yeah, it kills your heartbeat.
Right?
Yeah. So I try to keep in motion a little bit to keep my heart rate up.
I understand.
Yeah. And then, like, make sure your breathing is still at the right place, too, because, like, there's a rhythm that I try to get into with my breathing. But going back to kind of answer what you were asking, like, where I would run, for those really long runs, I would usually get to the lakefront and just run on that, because you can run on that thing forever without hitting any kind of light. Although, highly recommend, do not run on the lakefront the day of the Air and Water Show, because there's a lot of people on the lakefront that
day.
It was my first time living in the city that year, and I didn't know that, and it was miserable.
And there's no sense of etiquette with people who walk in the city of Chicago, because most of them aren't from the city of Chicago on those types of days.
Exactly.
So tomorrow might be pushing 80, but cloudy. What's that going to do to, what will that do to runners? What will that do to times?
And it won't.
Will that be very much more difficult than we think?
Yeah, so 80 degrees is, you know, you're walking around the city, it feels pretty comfortable, but when you're running 26 miles, it gets pretty hot pretty quick. So, like, those elite runners, they won't have a problem with it. Like, it's doubtful that we'll see. So, like, the last time they did this in 2019, the woman whose name I'm blanking on that won the race was she set the world record, or she set a course record or a world record. I think it was a world record.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so,
I know,
like, we're
I'll
not
know gonna, the name
I,
too.
Yeah, I doubt we see that tomorrow, just because I don't think that those elite runners are going to overly push themselves and try to break records. But, like, the casual runners, I think it'll, like, the people like me, it'll affect them a little bit more, because it's just, even 80 degrees, like, I think I would deal with it just fine, but you got to make sure to drink a little extra water. And I know they're going to have extra water on the course and all that. But, like, I mean, what really would get me if it got over 90 and you're running 12 plus miles? Like, there was one time it was like 100 degrees out and I ran 12 miles and almost passed out. So, like, that's when it really gets you. But yeah, I don't know. 80 degrees shouldn't cause a ton of problems, but it's, you know, just got to be a little more aware of how much water you're drinking. 847
texter says more diarrhea problems.
That could be it too. Yeah, maybe.
Is the lady that won? Is it Bridget Kosgei? Is that it, from Kenya?
Bridget sounds right. Yeah, that name
Bridget
sounds familiar.
Kosuke.
Yeah, you think I wish I wasn't blanking on it because I worked the show. I worked the show that year, so I'm trying. It's been two years. Yeah.
Who's our reporters for this? I was like hearing the reporters around town from the Score. Who's doing it? Do you know?
So I don't think we're this year. I don't think we're placing reporters around town, but we are going to have like our own Sean Anderson's going to be in a lead vehicle, and then we have people. And then we're going to have people in the lead men and lead women vehicles. So, but we're not going to have like in years past, where we've had, you know, people just kind of stationed around the city.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing
here's
that.
Here's so and so in Roscoe Village. Here's so and so in Lincoln Park. Right. All
yeah.
Kind of
so I think we're just kind of trying to keep, as you know, I think the marathon is trying to keep as little people involved as they possibly can. So, like, we're not going to have people stationed throughout the city.
Gotcha.
224 texter said, I'm surprised Trash Panda didn't get Haley Williams from Paramore on the show to tell her about his marathon training.
And maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe she would be. Hey, I did. Funny story. The day I met Haley Williams, which I talked about on this show before, the day I met her, I ran 20 miles that morning. So I didn't tell her that I did, which maybe I should have. Maybe she would have been impressed.
Right. You missed it. But you'd forget what you're. Okay. Nicely done. All right. So that's it.
Anyway,
we got all of the marathon talk out, all of the marathon texts. So we'll do that. Can we break away from breaking? By the way, the marathon, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon tomorrow on the Score, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. We will be here for you. So we will. We've discussed that. We've promoted that. Mark, I have a Bears question for you regarding the quarterback. So we'll take a break, and we come back, and I'll ask my question, and you give me your take on it and the context in which it played out. How's that?
You are just delightful. That sounds great.
No, we'll get through it. We'll get to Mitch Rosen. We'll get to Spilkus's desired part of the show, which is the end. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. 469 texter lets us know he's too high, or she is too high, to care about this. It's good. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Club. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Told you the last couple of weeks we've had some good conversations internally. It's helped us in the last couple of weeks. Continuing that process this week, it's led to making the decision to move with Justin as a starter. You know, we've been patient with this. We've grown with him. We're proud of Justin. He's been a great teammate from the very beginning.
Matt Nagy making the announcement after waiting for Andy Dalton's knee, saying Andy Dalton's knee is healthy enough, but so what? Whatever I told you before is a lie or wrong or whatever. It doesn't. Justin Fields is your quarterback going forward, and there you go. So whether Matt Nagy got neutered or not, or whatever the dynamics were, Mark, what do you see by making this official? What changes, or what does this do for the quarterback, the team, the current head coach, the play caller? What is the effect of having made this official?
I think that one of the effects is more job security for Matt Nagy than people think, because I think part of the conversation, I think part of the conversation had to have been with Matt Nagy to have said over and over and over that if Andy Dalton is healthy, he's our quarterback, and then all of a sudden they say Justin Fields is the guy without a really good explanation as to why he wavered off of that, other than all of these sort of things that we can't really account for, like how good he's been in practice, and nobody's really had concrete answers on what did Justin Fields suddenly do that he's the starting quarterback in your eyes, although most people thought. So my philosophy is that there had to have been a conversation with bosses, with the people that work for Matt Nagy, and everybody, and one of them had to have been, look, man, our season now needs to be about developing Justin Fields. As long as Justin Fields is developing in the right direction under your leadership, it's all good. And we're not as worried about wins as we are about developing a franchise quarterback. So I think that's one of the number one things. I think on the field, you're going to see the good and the bad, man. You're going to see more plays like the 64-yarder to Darnell Mooney, or that pinpoint pass to Allen Robinson that Cam Ellis was raised. raving about earlier. And then you're also going to see more mistakes made. You're still going to see a guy who takes too long to get rid of the football. You're going to see a guy probably eventually throw some interceptions and just have some bad moments. But the wow moments, I think, are going to override the bad moments.
It's interesting. So do you think it was the case that Nagy didn't think he could afford to play a rookie because his job was hanging on it, and he played it safe as could be, with a guy like Andy Dalton and clinging to his system? Because the way he handled the, we're not giving him, we're not telling you who's calling plays, and the defensiveness about it, we all contributed, I contributed, I did this, I did, it sounded so infantile, actually, the way he sounded. And then, well, we're waiting on Andy's knee, and if his knee is good, he's going to start. Do you think it was a matter of they finally said, okay, you're good next year, we just need to play this guy?
I think that that happened. This is my opinion, but yeah. I also think that the bigger part of why Matt Nagy was playing Andy Dalton still is a couple of things. And number one, it still is the old Patrick Mahomes game plan and what he saw and what he knows. We all teach and say based on our own experiences, and yeah. Matt Nagy's experience was a terrific one in Kansas City, where you had Alex Smith doing terrific things still and a developing quarterback. So he saw all that. We know how much he reveres Andy Reid. So it was more that than I think him watching out for his own job and his own backside. And I think some of that is there, but that's definitely overplayed. Like, I don't think Matt Nagy has the overriding part has been, I got to protect myself. I think it's what he saw and what he knows. But I do think that an organizational decision was made. And I think in part of that, you have to change your goals. If you're going to put a rookie quarterback in, you're going to have to take the bad. And there probably are going to be games that you're going to lose because you have a rookie quarterback in and not the safe game manager in Andy Dalton. So there has to be some kind of vote of confidence, I believe, from the bosses of Matt Nagy to have enabled this move.
All right. We'll discuss more of that in the next hour. I suspect that when we do what Mark heard at the top of after this break, at the top of the next hour, I suspect this discussion will come up again. Am I right? Is this a good guess on my part?
It will. You will hear from the likes of Bill Lazor. You will hear from Khalil Mack was really good yesterday. We don't talk to him often, and sometimes when he talks, he doesn't really want to play. Yesterday he was playing, and it was really good stuff from Khalil Mack. So that's just a couple of things on what Mark heard that I think. And this may be beyond near award-winning. This may be the award-winning segment.
All righty then. Wow, that's high praise for our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. And this text, all the marathon talk has made me go get a bag of Cheetos and two cartons of ice cream and then throw on some Breaking Bad.
I love it.
There you go.
That's perfect, because I just started watching Breaking Bad again. I am in the first season for the
smoke
fifth time.
Weed every day.
Yeah. Jesse, it's a cook.
All right. Jesse! Yo, Mr. White, what are you doing?
What Mark Heard is next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.